Good morning, church. It is great to be with you today. There's something about being gathered with the family of God that just reminds you that you have the peace of God. I'm excited today as we continue our series on this especially wonderful Palm Sunday and Celebration Sunday as we continue to see the amazing work and miracles of God through communion, through baptism, through the Word and the sacrament together on this great day. I want you to think for a minute about someone in your life that is more than a neighbor, more than a friend. As a kid, I watched this modeled because we had these friends, Frank and Jan, and their sons, Frankie and Ed. And they were our family best friends. They were friends that we didn't enter through the front doors, we entered through the garage. We went into the house and we didn't ask where drinks were, or we weren't offered drinks because it was just like we were at home, no matter whose home it was. It was when there was a need with Frank and Jan, I saw us modeled that we all came to help, or they came to help. From when our roof needed to be redone and my dad said, I'm not paying someone to do the roof, I'll do this on my own before YouTube. And then eventually someone came in and helped. But or when Frank and Jan built their pole barn and we had the barn raising party. You know those friends? I saw that modeled as a kid, and it's something that you can't really, like, just create. It just has to organically happen. Lori and I had friends who moved in right next door to us, but at first they weren't really friends. They were these two people that were totally opposite of us. They were young without kids. We were middle-aged with kids. And they were lifetime fitness trainers. We have a membership somewhere, people. And I remember us saying, we just would love to get to know them, love to get to know them. And it wasn't until they had their firstborn son, Jack, that we then saw a door open. But it, again, wasn't for any purpose except we just now had something in common. And eventually the LeBlancs became these family friends. They became people that entered through garages, or the door was just open, or our kids would just run to each other's houses and we didn't know where they were, we just knew they were together. That friendship. And that's an important piece for all of us to know as we look today at what does it mean for Jesus to call us friends? What does it mean for Jesus to make us family with God? And that's what this week ushers in. Leaders will often prioritize serving others above serving themselves. That's what a good leader does. And that's what our God does. He prioritized serving others above serving themselves. And he did this by riding in on a donkey. Now you might think, what does a donkey have to do with serving? Well, first of all, donkeys are not regal animals. Frank and Jan, they had a donkey that they would use to go backpacking with, and we would go with them, and their donkey would carry everything. I mean, you could load a ton on this animal, but it never moved fast, and sometimes it stopped, and it wouldn't move until it was ready, but it was still serving. You didn't have to carry everything. Jesus rides in on a donkey, showing that he's a servant king. Also in those days, when a king came in to a town, either if he was riding on a horse, it usually meant war. It meant he was coming to say, I'm going to be victorious. If he was riding in on a donkey, it meant I come in peace. And so Jesus rides into town on a donkey. God himself is coming to serve his people. and coming with peace. And this is an important piece for us to understand. This Palm Sunday is the coronation of our servant king. This is Jesus's crowning week. And he's coming with a purpose. And here's the purpose, because it's threefold for us. First, it's to bring us peace with God. Second, it's to restore our souls. And third, to be a presentation to the Father of us as blameless through or by the Son. This is his purpose. Peace, restoration, presentation. And this Palm Sunday, I believe, is a day that filled the hearts, the minds, and the hand of servants like Paul. Why, when he wrote to the Thessalonians, I believe there had to be some sort of thinking back to this Holy Week. Because he's writing about the promise yet to be fulfilled, and in that, he's remembering the promise that was fulfilled. That all began on this Palm Sunday. 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24, and again, if you see the red, the word is in red, I want to invite you at all campuses to read that with me. May God himself, the
God of peace,
sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. You see, the God of peace, Jesus, is desiring to present you holy and blameless. How? Because the Father sees Jesus in you. He doesn't see our wrongs, our sins. He sees Jesus, his perfect life. And that gives us a peace beyond all understanding. That gives us the ability to know that no matter what we've done, where we've been, or what we're currently doing, that God's grace is sufficient for you. And it allows us to say we want to live under this king, a king who's open-hearted with you and with me, who says, Dad, I know them, and they know me. Whose father then says, welcome home, good and faithful servants, well done. All because of Jesus. This is what it's about. And Jesus modeled this for us. I like what Simon Sinek said in his book, Leaders Eat Last. And this can be applied to us in the life of Jesus and applied to us as Christians as well. The true price of leadership is the willingness to place the needs of others above your own. Great leaders truly care about those they are privileged to lead, and understand that the true cost of leadership privilege comes at the expense of their own self-interest. Father, not my will be done, but thy will be done. A servant leader named Jesus who said, I will do whatever the Father asks me to do for others. And he gave his life. For us who've communed regularly and those who communed for the first time today, understand you were receiving a servant-hearted leader's body and blood given and shed for you. That communion moment was not you being obedient to God, but God serving you and giving you everything you need, everlasting and eternal life. The guarantee that you can walk out of here with your head held high, knowing that you have peace. And so you can say, Lord, now may your servant depart in peace. And by depart, we mean leave this world in peace with God. That's what we proclaim as we proclaim the resurrection of Jesus every time we commune. And that's why we invite and encourage you, commune often. Commune every time. If you're here at this service and then you're going to be here at the next service, commune again. It's never too much because it is a joy to be served by God. And as we're served, we are reminded that that servant-hearted life is not always easy. Paul writes of this in 1 Thessalonians 5:12 through 13. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you, hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. Today, I just want to take a moment and I want to actually do this. Acknowledge those who work hard among you. Raising your children in the faith is hard. It's hard because we're naturally opposed to the very will and nature of God. Please understand that if your children say, I don't want to go to church, that's normal. That's natural. My kids say that, right? Everyone's children says that on a regular basis or occasionally. And that's hard because we have to then fight the fight. Parents that have been coming and saying to their children, we want you to experience the means of grace of God. We want you to live out your baptismal vows and your baptismal promises. And so we will fight the good fight against you. And it's hard work as a parent. And first, I just want to acknowledge that work. So the parents here today that have their kids in First Communion Sunday, can we just say great job? Across our campuses are parents that have fought the good fight, that have worked hard, and that we hold up and we value them and we say thank you to them because it's hard work. And parents, let me encourage you today, don't give up. The work continues, and it continues until you breathe your last breath. So parents, continue to fight for your children as they enter into confirmation. Continue to fight for your children as they enter into college. Continue to fight for your children as they enter into young adulthood. Continue to fight for your children as they enter into adulthood and into their own parenting. Continue to fight for your children as they now raise your grandchildren and let them know of the expectations and the duty of the Lord. Pass this faith down generation to generation and never stop fighting because Satan never stops fighting. And his greatest goal is to disrupt generational inheritance of the kingdom of God. And so fight. And parents also, take on this fight as your own. Please don't relegate the passing of faith to a student minister, a student leader, a pastor, or somebody else. They are there to support you, not to do it for you. And that's their role. And so embrace your role because it's the God-gifted calling this to you. And we know it's hard, so let us be your cheerleader. Let us be your encourager. Let us be the one who stands next to you because we know what is to come. And I remember with our neighbors, John and Sarah, one day, as these two people that work hard all the time. I remember one time Lori was standing in our bedroom, which is a second story there, and it overlooked our yard and their yard. And one night in the early evening, she just kind of heard some noise, and she realized John was tearing out his patio paver deck that was there and replacing it with new patio pavers. We weren't especially close at this point, but we were close enough to where we could see each other and say, how are you doing? What's going on? And talk a little deeper. And I remember as he's doing this patio paver and he's starting to put it in, I remember hearing her say, oh, I don't think he's doing it right. And she had this perspective that was a little different than his on the ground, but she just kept looking and she's like, oh, that's not going to work. And I kind of keep remembering saying, Lori, mind your own business. Like, we don't know them super, super well yet. And all of a sudden, a few days later, Lori's out. And I think she just kind of caught from the bedroom when he was out working. And she just went outside and said, what you doing over there? Like, she didn't know. And then she began to warn him. She said, well, I wonder if you should do it this way. And today we just laugh about that. But are we not called to do that with one another? This is why we gather together as the body of believers. In 1 Thessalonians 5:14, we're reminded what it is to be the family of God. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn. This is going to come up at some point. Here we go. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Paul writes this to us that we're to warn one another when we lose our way. When we begin to treat the church as the world treats one another. We're to encourage one another when we're disheartened. To walk alongside them. We're to help the weak. And we're to be patient with everyone, recognizing that everyone's in a different spot on the journey with Jesus. That's why Baptism Sunday is that reminder that we're renewing ourselves in our baptism. We're renewing our call to live out this way. And it's why Paul also ends so fittingly. He ends this letter saying that we're to rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all things. Now, you might look at this and think, well, that's great pie in the sky thinking. They're completely altruistic. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks for everything or in all things. But when we have the perspective that we're the family of God, we can live this out. This is not rejoice for everything, it's rejoice always. Because we know that whatever valley we're walking in, whatever circumstance we're in, it is not our destiny. Our destiny is a new heaven and a new earth where all sin, all hurts, all heartaches are wiped away. And the only scars we see are the scars of Jesus on that cross on a Good Friday for you and for me. That's the guarantee of the Easter Sunday story. That we pray continually, and I think sometimes we miss this and we try to say, well, this happens by our breathing. I've said that before. I think it's not that. I think it just means Christians don't ever give up praying. Don't ever say this doesn't work. Don't ever say it's just a hard season and I keep slogging through and my prayers don't work anymore. I'm not doing this anymore. Paul's saying keep praying. Even when it's hard, pray. And give thanks in all things because there is still blessings amidst all things, even when we can't see them. So find a gratitude in our attitude. Doesn't mean we're thankful for all things, but we can give thanks in and during all things. That we're not alone, that God is with us. And so today, as we step into this moment, let us remember as baptized children of God, we are the family of God. You and I walk into heaven, not through the gate, but through the garage. It's yours. God calls you family. you get to sit at the table as a feast. And so let us shout glory and praise. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that you have made us family through your Son who came in and gave us peace, restoration, and presents us to you, Father, holy and blameless. Lord God, this week, we are your family. We are on high today shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And yet we will also shout shortly, crucify him, crucify him. But that empty tomb is a reminder that you did not rise with wrath, but instead with redemption for each and every one of us. And so this is a holy week with a servant-hearted Thursday, a very good Friday, and a celebratory Sunday lived out every day, 365, the Easter victory for you and for me. And all God's people said, amen.